Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
How have we lasted 25 years? I non-jokingly say, my team and Jesus.
You could make a case that Oprah Winfrey was the only successful liberal mainline Protestant in the last 25 years.
And in all this, you have lived the words of Scripture. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken.
So it's a proclamation of the good news and victory and salvation of Christ, not doomsday.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
Right at the outset, there are two remarkable things about the man remembered this day, June the 1st. By the church. Justin Martyr, it's a name that many Christians will find familiar, although they may not be familiar with his writings. The two things we should know, this man, this philosopher, this apologist, this martyr, is very early. He is second century, and so much of what he said and wrote survives to us today. What does it mean that he was a martyr? What does it mean that he was an apologist? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of June. Pastor Heath Curtis will join us for the first part of this hour to talk about Justin Martyr, remembered on this day by the church. A little bit later, many have read this book. Many have bought it and read it and found it touching and intriguing. The book is called Heaven is for Real. It recounts the story reported by a boy about 3 or 4 at the time that he visited heaven. He saw things that, others have never claimed to see. He sat in Jesus' lap. He met his long-dead grandfather. He met his miscarried sister. He saw his father praying during the surgery where he went to heaven, or so he says. Pastor Thomas Messer will join us. We'll review the best-selling book, Heaven is for Real, on this Wednesday afternoon. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, author of the Daily Divine Service book. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
The term martyr is a little easy to explain, but the term apologist does need some explanation. In the second century, what were the apologists, such as Justin Martyr, doing?
Right, they were making apologies for Christianity, and in that technical sense, today we use the word apology to mean I'm sorry, but the word really means a defense. And so he's giving an apology for Christianity, a rational defense for the faith. And for Justin, in his world, this means giving a defense of the Christian faith that will seem reasonable and rational to the thinking people of his day, to the philosophers of his day. Justin actually begins his life, he's born of pagan parents. He studies Stoic philosophy and then Peripatetic philosophy and then Pythagorean philosophy. He's finally converted to Christianity, and he takes up the task of defending the Christian faith in the midst of this philosophy-soaked Gentile pagan world in the mid-second century.
He is a snapshot in some ways to both aspects of the earliest Christian experience, both in the Roman context and in the Jewish context as well. One of his surviving works has to do with a dialogue or a debate with Trypho the Jew. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, he's from Palestine. He's born in what is today called Nablus, and he travels throughout, basically the Pauline travels. Justin in his life kind of mimics that. He moves from Palestine up into what is today Turkey, but over the whole area at this time, this is all Roman territory. Everybody speaks Koine Greek. He can get around. And so he encounters the Jewish response, the response of those Jews who reject Jesus as God's Christ, He encounters that wherever he goes, and in one of his treatises is indeed a response to that. It's called The Dialogue with Trypho the Jew. And therein, Justin acknowledges the Old Testament. He talks about the prophecies that Christ fulfilled and so forth. But also in that work, and in his other major work called The First Apology, which he addresses to the other half of society, that the First Apology is addressed to Emperor Antoninus and his adopted son, who would then become Emperor Marcus Aurelius. In both of these works, the interesting thing about Justin Martyr is the argument about Justin's work is it merely an inadequate confession of the divinity of Christ, or did Justin Martyr not really have an orthodox understanding of who Jesus is? That's the great question that a modern Christian faces when reading these second century texts from Justin.
What appears to be missing from Justin's confession of Christ?
Well, Justin, the question is, let me start just by reading a quotation from Justin from the Dialogue with Trypho. Justin says, "There is another God and Lord, subject to the maker of all things, who is also called an angel, because he announces to men whatsoever the maker of all things, above whom there is no other God, wishes to announce to them. I shall endeavor to persuade you that he who is said to have appeared to Abraham, to Jacob, and to Moses, and who is called God, is distinct from him who made all things. I mean distinct numerically, not in will." Well, what did he just say there? That's the great question. Did Justin, is he talking about the Trinity in an orthodox way, but he just doesn't have the language yet for it? Is he saying that when he says that Jesus is a God who is numerically separate from the Father, is he talking about, well, you know, there are three persons, but there's only one God, you know, the way that we speak about the Trinity today, but he just doesn't have that language yet because that hasn't been hammered out in the church? Or does he mean what the words seem to say on their face, that God the Father is the only one who's really God, and that Jesus is a being created by God and is lesser than God and is distinct completely from God the Father, except that they both desire the same thing?
I mean, that would make him a very early and rather anachronistically an Arian, wouldn't it?
Exactly. And this is the great question when it comes to Justin. The question is he endeavoring, as a great pioneer, to be the first guy to describe biblical truth in philosophical language that will make sense to pagans? Is he a great pioneer in that, and we accept him as a Christian, and we say, you know, we have gone on, the church went on to develop better terminology than Justin used, or is Justin the great sellout to Stoic philosophy, to Platonic philosophy? Did he drop the ball? Was his understanding not the biblical understanding? And that is a great debate, not only within how Christians should receive Justin, but it's a great debate among scholars of this time period. What kind of Christianity did Justin really proclaim?
Is there a verdict, I mean, of your knowledge of perhaps those who followed him, is there a verdict one way or the other on whether or not he articulated Orthodox Christianity or whether he was selling out to philosophy?
Well, he's never been condemned by a council in the same way that Origen was condemned. You know, Origen is another mid to late second century figure, and Origen talks in ways that are very similar to Justin. I mean, right down the line when it comes to his Christology. And Justin was later condemned by either the 5th or the 6th Ecumenical Council, condemned Origen and said, you know, his manner of speaking was not merely inadequate, but wrong. Now, to my knowledge, you know, Justin's never put out of bounds in the same way. But there is no doubt that a Christian living today is just not comfortable with the way that Justin spoke. Was Justin saved? Was he really a Christian? Well, that's God's problem, not our problem. But to read Justin charitably, you really have to go out of your way and say, well, here's a guy, he's struggling to talk about this to pagans, and he just kind of drops the ball. It's not the best way of speaking. You have to make a lot of excuses for Justin to, in the matter of Christology, in the matter of who Jesus is, to really read him as an Orthodox Christian.
One of the things that he does do, and it's remarkable to read this, he gives a description of early Christian liturgical practice, in particular centering around the sacraments. With about a minute, get us started on that, if you would, Heath.
Sure. As we see with all the things when it comes from the early church period, we see stuff that's going to be very familiar to modern Christians. The sacraments are so central to the Christian life that the earliest writings we have, the earliest liturgies, the earliest descriptions of how it works, the differences that we see are so remarkable, they stand out only because the similarities to what we practice, what we say, what we believe today are so similar. And again, this is the frustrating thing about Justin. We find so much in him that is wonderful, that just lines up perfectly with what we would expect to see from the Scriptures. But the great warning we need to take from Justin is that when he departs from biblical language, it's very obvious that he's done so, and it gets him into a lot of trouble. Better to stick with the language of the Scriptures.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the life of Justin Martyr on this Wednesday, June the 1st, and perhaps even more importantly, his martyr's death. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Historic. Authentic Christian Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. A Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, June the 1st. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're talking about Justin Martyr, remembered on this day by the church. A little bit later, a review of the best-selling book, Heaven is for Real. Pastor Thomas Messer will be our guest. Pastor Curtis, let's talk about how it is Justin found himself a martyr in the early church.
Well, he is living at a time in the Roman Empire that is simply fascinating. Coming to the throne during Justin's career is Marcus Aurelius, and he's the second of the Antonine emperors, and the author of the famous series, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, mentioned that if you could pick any time in history to live, but you couldn't pick the modern world, you know, the industrial age, you couldn't pick this time, you had to pick any other time, you would pick the time of the Antonine emperors. Society is well ordered, and things are kind of clicking along at a good pace. There are paved roads, from Spain and North Africa, all the way around the Mediterranean Ocean. Civilization is flourishing. These are wise and competent rulers. How odd, then, to find out that Marcus Aurelius, the philosopher king, the emperor of Rome, is the guy who kills Justin Martyr, is the guy who, in the 160s and the 170s, is dead set against Christianity and is the author of these, what today we would consider unenlightened persecution. We consider any physical violent persecution of any faith to be barbaric and wrong-headed, and we believe in freedom of speech, freedom of religion. How could this great philosopher king, Marcus Aurelius, kill the Christians? Here's a quotation, for example, from Marcus Aurelius when it comes to the Christians. He says that the Christians are merely obstinate when it comes to their doctrine. He writes, "What a soul that is ready at any moment, it must be to be separated from the body. It must be ready either to be extinguished or dispersed or continue to exist, but so that this readiness comes from a man's own judgment and not from mere obstinacy, as it is with the Christians, but considerately and with dignity and in a manner to persuade another and without tragic showmanship." That's Marcus Aurelius's view of the Christians, that they are exhibiting this tragic showmanship. And the way that Aurelius talks about that, many people believe that he's actually quoting there the work of Justin Martyr in his first apology, which was indeed addressed to Marcus Aurelius, where Justin mentions that Christians, when given the opportunity to speak in martyrdom, they should shout out with a tragic voice and declare the truth. And so here's Marcus Aurelius. He's dead set against the Christians. He views them as merely obstinate, backwoods nincompoops, because why get so hung up on your favorite God? Why not just acknowledge that everybody can worship the way they want to, all paths lead to the same place? Why won't those Christians do that? And if you Christians won't do that, you're being divisive in society. Today, we would say, Marcus Aurelius would put it this way, he would say you're engaging in hate speech, and you cannot be a productive member of society. And so Marcus, the great philosopher king of Rome, oversees the death of Justin Martyr and many other Christians because of their obstinacy in matters of faith, because they're not pluralistic, because they won't give in, and he views them, therefore, as a threat to society.
Is it true that Justin's martyrdom became a source of great encouragement for the early Christian church?
Absolutely, as did all martyrdoms during this time period, because the year in which Justin Martyr is killed, 165 to 166 B.C., was also a time of great natural calamities. There was an earthquake, there was pestilence, the Tiber River in Rome rose higher than it had ever risen before, and that flood washed away the public granaries, so there was famine at Rome, everything's going wrong, and everybody says it's those Christians' fault. They are not honoring the gods of Rome. It's their fault. We've got to get rid of them. We've got to punish them. They're not honoring the gods of Rome. And so many Christians are swept up into this pogrom. And for men like Justin Martyr, who is very well known, and for other bishops and lay people in the church, a lot of famous martyrdoms happen at this time. And Christians look to their staunchness in the face of this. Because how easy would it be to just say, okay, you can have your gods, I have my gods, yes, we're all going to the same place, I'll honor the emperor, I'll burn a little incense in front of his image, fine. But the Christians, these men and women won't do that. They say, no, I believe in Jesus Christ, he is Lord, you can kill me if you want to, but it's not going to change the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and you need to repent and trust in him to be saved. And that kind of steadfastness in the faith not only is an inspiration at that time, but for Christians of all centuries down to our day.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, author of the Daily Divine Service book. You can find out more about the Daily Divine Service book under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Curtis, thank you again.
Good to be with you.